119 to 112, Lakers over the Oklahoma City Thunder in overtime. Lakers now 19-6 on the season. So we're close to 35% through the season right now, and the Lakers about a half game out of the best record in the NBA. Lakers and the Utah Jazz going back and forth. I would say the bigger focus in a game like this, and this is getting, I guess you could say, becoming the norm for the Lakers. When you got games against teams that are below 500, or they're not, certainly not in the ballpark of where the Lakers are, those are dangerous games for the Lakers. I was telling Michael this in the pregame show. I think those are the games that I'm more concerned about than games against the Denver Nuggets or games against the Boston Celtics or Milwaukee Bucks. I say that because I just don't know how much the Lakers are going to get up for a game like that. Look, if you look at the stats statistically, a lot of guys put up stats. But do you really want to see LeBron James playing 43 minutes in a game like tonight? Last game against Detroit, I think he played 45, 46 minutes in that double overtime win, as did Anthony Davis, somewhere around there, give or take a couple minutes. But do you really want to see these two guys, and especially LeBron James at age 36? Of course you don't. You don't. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The last thing you want to see is LeBron James having to put up 28, 14, and 12 with two steals, two block shots, and 43 minutes in a game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I don't think this is going away. I think the Lakers are going to have games like this. Next game for the Lakers, OKC again. Maybe that one's a little bit different. Okay, maybe an 8-10-point win would be nice. How about you just finish it off in regulation? Memphis after that. There's going to be games on this Lakers schedule where I just don't think this team is going to get up the way they're going to on February 18th when it's against the Brooklyn Nets, or February 14th when it's against the Denver Nuggets. So it's going to be interesting how things pan out for the Lakers before we get to March 3rd and you get to the halfway point of the season. But it's not ideal. And, you know, when I come on here and I do these post-game shows, of course I'm happy when the Lakers get W's, and I'm sure Laker fans are there as well. Laker fans out there as well feel the same way. But I guess you're just thinking big picture here, and you just want to make sure that, yes, whether the Lakers beat the Thunder by 20 points or whether they beat them by 7 in overtime, it's still a W. It would be nice that they're not exerting the amount of energy that they are against teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Detroit Pistons. But I kind of have this feeling that that's not going to change anytime soon. So I'll stay on LBJ for a quick second. The fact that he did play 43 minutes, the fact that he is doing what he is doing, the fact that at age 36, he's still able to go 28, 14, and 12 and affect the game in every possible stat line just shows you truly how great he is. Yesterday, we got to see Tom Brady win a Super Bowl at age 43, which I know kind of takes things to an even a different level. But watching LeBron, how he controls the entire game, and he does this every night. So it's a lot of times we take it for granted or we're not even paying attention. I come into the postgame show tonight, I'm ready to talk about Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews hit 4 3-pointers, went 4 of 5. Wes Matthews has missed a couple games, and then he's come in and look how he just what a professional. He comes in and as if he never had any time off or any DNPs where he didn't play because coach had kept him down on the bench. There's a lot of times those are the types of things I start off with, but LBJ, just that consistency, the consistency of delivering for the Lakers, it truly, truly is special. Let me throw out the phone number real quick, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Let me keep going down the list on a couple different items. Lakers from the three tonight. It's the main reason why this game did go into overtime. Lakers couldn't hit a three. 24% from the three-point line. 24%. I mean, I'm going to point at two players specifically. LBJ, Kyle Kuzma. I think LeBron, you know, I think there's a lot of those possessions he's settling for threes because he's probably getting tired. He's probably thinking, is that, can I just put a couple daggers in this game like he did against the Detroit Pistons in that double overtime win? He's probably in his head thinking to himself, okay, if I can just get rid of this game and finish it off with a couple threes. LeBron went 2 of 10. Kuzma went 1 of 9 from the three-point line. Schroeder went 1 of 7. Add those three players up, just those three alone, they were 4 of 26, something along those lines. Those three players alone were 4 for 26 from the three-point line, so that had a lot to do with this game being closer than you thought. And then, of course, you know, not having Anthony Davis in this game, Lakers eventually won points in the paint battle, 64-60, but I'm doing updates at the end of the first quarter at halftime, and it was ugly down in the paint. I mean, Michael was pleading during the broadcast, please just make the Thunder shoot from the outside. But when you're missing such an amazing shot blocker and such an amazing player like Anthony Davis, where a lot of times it's not even about blocking a shot, but it's altering a shot. That's the effect that Anthony Davis has. And when you're missing a player like that, the Oklahoma City Thunder certainly took advantage of it, and they were in the paint. I want to say they were in the paint. It felt like in that first half, in the first three quarters, every possession was buckets that were going to the basket. They weren't really settling for too many jumpers, but Lakers defense did do better as the game progressed. They gave up in the second half 24 points in the third quarter, 26 points in the fourth quarter, and just 2 points in overtime. And that's obviously a big reason how the Lakers ended up with this win. One other thing that I want to point out, turnovers-wise, so the Lakers, 15 turnovers in the game, which is a little high. I mean, Michael was targeting 13. They had 23 against the Detroit Pistons, maybe even more than that, but I think it was 23. And Michael, in the pregame show with some of his keys, was talking about a good number for them to be at would be 13. They had 8 in the first quarter, which means take away that first quarter. Lakers were fantastic, even in an overtime game, to only have 15. But like I mentioned, 8 of those came in the first quarter, so the Lakers certainly cleaned things up after that first quarter, and that certainly had something to do with the Lakers finding a way to get this win. It's not pretty. It's not perfect, but it's another W for the Lakers. Lakers over the Thunder, 119-112 the final score. They're now 19-6 on the season. When we come back, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel will get his thoughts on the win, get his thoughts on the game, and we'll keep this thing rolled along. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Pete's Out Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Jackson towards the middle, and Talen Horton-Tucker stole it. Great defensive play by THT. Here's Montrezl Harrell bringing it back the other way. Harrell driving down the middle to the rim. Foul and a bucket. He took that end to end, Michael. Montrezl Harrell now has 16 points on 7 of 11 shooting.
You know, I love playing these defense to offense highlights. That one was THT on the steal. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. For more than 25 years, Adriana's Insurance has been the champion of savings. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. More options, no contracts, just savings. You know, one of the things coming into this game, if you really kind of pay attention here, all right, how the Lakers, how would they do defensively without Anthony Davis? How about 12 block shots for the Lakers? I don't know where that came from. LeBron had 2. Marc Gasol had 2. Kuzma had 2. Talen Horton-Tucker had 2. So there's 8 right there. And then a few different guys had 1 apiece. All right, let's hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Lakers over the Thunder in overtime, 119-112. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, you had mentioned a couple of different times that you were going to need Wesley Matthews and Markieff Morris. But just with Wesley specifically, is a guy that's not used to playing, started every game last year. How about him coming in and playing this way after not being in a game since the 28th?
Exceptional performance by West tonight. You know, that's the simplest way to put it. Incredible energy on both sides of the ball, but in particular defensively, in a game where, you know, this is a duck your head and drive the paint offensive attack without a lot of screening action. You need as many guys as you can that can contain the basketball. Two of our best containment guys, AD and Alex, being out. We definitely needed his toughness on that side of the ball, and then obviously hit some big threes and on a night where we couldn't throw it in the ocean. So, you know, he was great. And I thought Keith, a true pro, stayed ready, played a really good basketball game as well. Didn't get as many offensive opportunities, but both of those guys, you know, were crucial in us getting this W tonight.
Frank, second straight big minute game for LeBron. Of course, hasn't missed one this year in his season. As impressive as it is, do you want to try to stay away from that? How do you gauge that long term versus, you know, you want him in there to win the game, that balance there?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to go to overtime, you know, when we don't have to. But, you know, obviously he's going to want to be in there then, and we definitely want to be responsible with his minutes.
Okay, we're going to go with Dave McMenamin, please.
Frank, I want to ask you about the late game sequence in the fourth. First off, the coach's challenge where you won the challenge, but obviously ended up giving OKC another shot at it because there was a tip-off at center court. And then also when you're up three in late game situations, you like to play it out? Are you a guy who likes to foul on the floor? What's your kind of coaching technique there?
Yeah, if we have an approach for that, we prefer to foul if there's an opportunity intelligently to do so. And that typically means if the ball is inside the three. The guy's bringing the ball up to court, it's risky. You know, our rule is to downward dribble if we can take one. We will try to take one. But if you're unsure, play it out is kind of how we play it and make them make a tough shot. Shea made a hell of a play with the shot fake and jump in, and you live with that. But we have situational ways that our guys are trained when to take the foul in that situation.
And then the challenge, Frank. I mean, are you comfortable with the way that played out? Would you do it again?
Yeah, we just didn't win the jump ball, you know. But that's why, you know, there's a lot of times throughout the game where you know, it's when to use your challenge, when to keep it, and sometimes it goes unused. You know, in a situation where you could have used it 3, 4, 5 minutes in the fourth or even earlier in the game, you know, we try to keep it till the end of game. And for that situation specifically, you know, tonight it worked out that we were able to keep it. We had it. And that was a key play because it was all ball on a play at the rim. And we prevented those free throws. We just got to win the jump ball.
Okay, Bill Orme, please.
Hey, Frank, it's a 5-game winning streak for you guys at this point. But when you kind of consider the nature of some of these wins, you know, a couple of overtime games, the big comeback against Denver, Boston doesn't hit a game winner. Just how would you assess the way you guys have played over this stretch kind of as on the whole?
Yeah, certainly can be better. You know, I want to improve our discipline, but you know, I feel like our guys are playing hard. You know, they're just we're not shooting the ball well. Right now, we had a ton of great looks tonight from the perimeter, you know, and they didn't fall. And when you have a tough shooting night, you got to win it with your defense, and you know, that's what we did. We buckled down, you know, in the second half was better defensively than the first half, and over time they scored 2 points, you know. So you know, it's imperfect, but you know, we enjoy wins as part of our culture. Is you know, we talk about like there's going to be some quote unquote frustrating wins. That we're going to enjoy and then we're going to learn from and move on to the next game. And you know, I think this team showed us why they got 7 road wins with how hard they play. And, you know, I think tonight's game is a good lesson for what we're going to face in 2 nights. It's not going to be an easy game.
Okay, Kyle Goon, please.
Frank, I actually have 2 questions, but first I just want to follow up on what Bill just asked. Is there a correlation between sort of the lack of gym time, practice time, and the shooting you guys are going through? I mean, is it just like guys are having a harder time going to the gym or getting reps? And as a separate question, what did you get from Dennis in that final minute of regulation on both ends?
Yeah, well, he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the game, you know, so I'll start with that one. you know, I have to go back and look at the tape. I know he hit some big buckets for us, got fouled. I have to look at the tape, but, you know, he's been key for us in a lot of these late game situations because of what he can do on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the shooting correlation, you know, I think it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, you guys get a little heavy legged at certain points throughout the season. I feel like we're a little bit there right now. And, you know, we just got to fight through that stuff.
Okay, Dan Wojcicki, please.
Frank, I apologize if I have some audio stuff on my end. It's a little glitchy up here. How much of what we're seeing kind of along the lines of what Bill and Kyle are just talking about is just sort of the cumulative effects of everything since, you know, the short off season, the energy that a team would maybe get from coming into camp, but sort of now the realization that, you know, there's still 50 games left in the season. Is that going to be, do you think any of that is happening right now?
Yeah, possibly, but, you know, we're not looking at that. You know, we don't want to make excuses, and, you know, it's just the situation we're in. This is the hand we've been dealt, and, you know, we're not looking at that as an excuse. You know, we just got to keep grinding and keep putting in the work. You know, that's what our culture has been about here, is focus on the work, be diligent in our preparation, our daily growth in the film room, and, you know, in our shooting repetition.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. By the way, I think for any team out there, I think this March 3rd date is going to be key for the Lakers. That's when they'll get hopefully a week off. We'll wait and see what happens in the All-Star break. But I don't know, you can just kind of sense this from the Lakers. You feel like, and maybe this is just the NBA as a whole, but the Lakers especially. I don't want to make excuses, but let's not pretend like the Lakers did not just win an NBA championship, and they're in this grind where it feels like they are just, their gears are grinding just to get through some of these games. Now, that doesn't mean when they got a good opponent like the Denver Nuggets, they're not going to wake up, or the Brooklyn Nets, or the Boston Celtics, but against just some of these below 500 teams, I don't know if it's going to get any better in the short term. But I can't wait for March 3rd, and if the Lakers can stay, here they are sitting at 19-6 and just a half game away from the best record in the Western Conference. I'm looking forward to that break for the Lakers just so some of these guys can kind of replenish that tank. All right, Lakers over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 119-112 the final score. We'll take a look at some scores around the NBA. We'll continue to hear from some of these Laker players. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
119-112 Lakers over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint, Lakers 64, Thunder to 60. I don't know how the Lakers eventually won this points in the paint battle. I know Schroeder was definitely getting in the lane. Montrezl Harrell was doing work. LeBron was getting to the basket. But it's shocking because for most of the game, the Oklahoma City Thunder was just taking full advantage of the Lakers' lack of size. Hey, you don't have Anthony Davis in the game. Michael and I talked about in the pregame, why wouldn't they go to the basket every possession and try to, you know, obviously feast on the Lakers from down low? I'll tell you this, and I'm sure everybody, you know, obviously knows this as well. If Anthony Davis is in the game, they're going to settle for jumpers. But when he's not in the game, that obviously changes everything. Let's take a quick look at scores from around the NBA, and then we'll get to Wesley Matthews here in just a minute. So let me first do this. So standings right now, this just gives you a good idea of where the top teams in the NBA are. So the Utah Jazz, 19-5. How about Utah? They've won four games in a row, 9-1 in their last 10 games. I mean, it's pretty damn impressive what they've put together. And I know we only have the first half of the schedule so far, But just to give everybody an idea, some of these great matchups coming up for the Lakers, you still got Denver, you got Brooklyn, you got Utah. The Denver and Utah games will both be on the road. Portland's still on the schedule. Phoenix is there, so still a lot of good games. But the Utah Jazz sitting at 19-5. So Lakers, the second best record in the NBA at 19-6. Half game behind the Utah Jazz. And I know it hasn't been pretty from the Lakers. I mean, I don't think there's Laker fans walking around right now saying, man, this last week has been great basketball. But they are continuing to win. They've won five games in a row. Philly's right behind the Lakers at 17-7. And the Clippers, who've lost two games in a row, are sitting at 17-8. So scores around the NBA. So just a couple that I wanted to point out here. Some that have, you know, somewhat of effect in the Western Conference. Mavs, 127-122 over the Timberwolves. Spurs, 105-100 over the Warriors. Not too many people talking about the San Antonio Spurs. They're sitting at 14-10. Suns all over the Cavs, 119-113. So that puts the Suns at 14-9. And the Bucks beat Denver. Denver was 12-8 coming in to play the Lakers. They've lost three games in a row. They lose to the Bucks 125-112. So Nuggets, we thought were kind of coming back on track. Now they're going backwards. Let's take a quick listen here. Wesley Matthews, who had 4 3-pointers for the Lakers, had 16 points, gives his thoughts on the Lakers' 7-point overtime win against the Thunder.
Hey, Wesley, on a night where you guys obviously did not have Anthony Davis, how important for you guys to play some defense in that overtime, holding OKC to only 2 points in that 5-minute extra session?
Well, I mean, obviously that's ideal. You know, you got to credit them. They play hard. They attack the glass. They attack the paint. They got a lot of offensive rebounds against us from the perimeter. So that's something that we're going to have to shore up. Obviously, not having a big fella kind of puts the burden on everybody else. So luckily, we were able to make enough plays and lock in when we needed to. But that's something that we will address going into the next game.
Now, you personally made 4 threes tonight. After sitting out about a week or so, the rest of your teammates struggled from the three-point range tonight, which is kind of a rarity of the season. How important was it for you to jump in there and make all those threes?
I was just taking good looks when my teammates found me, and thankful that they went in. You know, I've been just working, staying ready. The blessing of this team is we have an extremely deep team, extremely talented team. So usually we'll be able to compensate for whatever it is that isn't going according to plan.
You mentioned LeBron. He set a record of sorts tonight. Since turning 35, he now has 9 triple-doubles, passing Jason Kidd for that mark. What do you think of his play the last two games? A lot of extra minutes for LeBron, too.
He's all right. I mean, obviously, what his numbers and what he does for this team, what he does for the game of basketball speaks for itself. You know, he's an engine. It's amazing what he can do and how he can control a game. And, you know, it's just it's something to see for sure.
Thanks, Wes.
All right, let's go to Dave McMenamin, please.
Hey, Wes. Did falling out of the rotation cause you to second guess your decision to come here at all? And if not, what gave you the faith to have the patience to recognize that, you know, a night like this would still be coming?
No, it didn't make me second guess anything. It's just a matter of time. You know, since entering this league, nothing has gone according to how I would have dreamed of being an NBA player. You know, so truthfully, a setback or whatever this was isn't anything new to me. You know, I've had to deal with adversity my whole career, it seems like. So it was unfortunate, but at the same time, you know, it's your job to be professional. It's your job to stay ready. And I was able to do that, you know, with the help of my teammates, with the help of the coaches, help of my family and friends, the help of God, you know, keeping my faith and just staying ready. And just knowing that whenever that time is called, it's go time.
All right, Dan Wojcicki, please.
Hey, Wes. In terms of staying ready, this is a team that doesn't practice, that doesn't have shoot-arounds. You're limited in some of the amount of times that you're able to get here before games. what does that look like, staying ready in a pandemic? How are you getting into the gym to get shots? What have you been able to do?
It's not easy. I've been playing a lot of one-on-one with the coaching staff on game days, games that I, you know, had an idea that I wasn't going to get in. You know, I'm playing one-on-one for 20 minutes, offense and defense. When we don't practice or we have light practice, you know, guys like myself, you know, Keith, some of the younger guys, we play 5-on-5, you know, doing extra cardio on the road in the hotel, on the elliptical or on the bike or whatever it is, you know, just staying, trying to stay as crisp as possible. Obviously, there's the pandemic and the access to gyms is less than ideal, but no one's feeling sorry for us, so can't feel sorry for ourselves.
Who are you playing one-on-one against?
All right, that's Wesley Matthews right there. 16 points for Wesley Matthews. 4 of 5 from the three-point line. Great to see him get on track. Great to see him get some playing time and take advantage of that opportunity with Alex Caruso out and Anthony Davis out. Montrezl Harrell, when we come back, Lakers over the Thunder, 119-112, the final score in overtime. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
119-112, you got to feel good. Listen, I know these last couple of games are not ideal, and you don't want to see the Lakers giving this much effort to teams like the Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder, but you're still sitting at 19-6. 119-112, the final score, Lakers over the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, I've said this a couple times that I don't want to give Montrez and Dennis Schroeder too much credit. And I know that sounds mean or that sounds ruthless, but what I'm referring to is these guys are so good. And when Anthony Davis is out, you expect them to step up and have games like this. This is their role on this Lakers team. First of all, this is their role even when AD's there, but even more so if Anthony Davis is not going to play in a game. And, of course, Alex Caruso, you're missing him off the bench. Still 54 bench points for the Lakers tonight. Montrez, 21 points, 8 rebounds. Had 2 assists as well, 9 of 14 from the field. 30 minutes for Montrezl Harrell. Let's take a listen to Montrez, get his thoughts on the 7-point overtime win over the Thunder.
Hey, Montrezl. OKC happened to have a couple of injuries from their bigs in the backup line. Like, when you're looking at the matchup, are you thinking, okay, yeah, this is a time where I'm going to be able to eat even a little bit more than usual in the paint? Or do you try to just approach things as they come within the game?
No, I approach things, play by playing the game. Just as they had players out, we had 2 key rotational guys for us out as well. So we went out with a great game plan. We knew that was going to come and compete and fight all the way to the end of the game, which they did, even forcing into overtime. But, you know, I know I didn't come in with no different mindset than I come in every game.
Hey, a couple of your veteran teammates with Wesley Matthews and Markieff hadn't gotten in since January 28th. It had been a little bit. I just wondered what you saw specifically from Wesley tonight and kind of what that says about him and what you've seen him be doing these last couple games when he's been out of the rotation.
Honestly, it's a great, credit to both of those guys, man. These are veteran guys who could be on a number of amount of teams and, start and play big minutes for. They just take heed to their role and does whatever is necessary for the team to win, man. And those are guys that you want on your team. It's winning basketball. It's winning players, man, just guys that have been around this league for a while that knows how this game goes, how coaching goes, and, every night, different schemes, different matchups.
Okay, Dave McMenamin, please.
Trez, we often loop you and Wes and Mark and Dennis together because you all came in at the same time. Did you feel any personal connection to what Wes was going through and any satisfaction for how he came through it, being out of the rotation and then having the big game tonight?
Honestly, no. Wes is a veteran guy, man. He's been on numerous amount of teams. He's been in this league for a long amount of time, man, and he knows how this game goes. He doesn't you know, it's not like we're talking about a second year or first year guy, man. We're talking about a guy who's been around this league and, you know, knows that, you know, different coaching strategies, different coaching matchups, different coaching lineups, man, that, you know, some nights you might play something, some nights you might, you know, and it goes to veteran guys as well, man. So, like, it's nothing that Wes had to learn. It's something that he already knows. And like I said, it's something that, you know, he teaches younger guys like THC when he, you know, is getting down on himself, or even like me or AC, you know, guys who are real high competitive and just want to hold ourselves to a high caliber, man. Wes does a great job on coaching us on the sideline when we're maybe too hard on ourselves sometimes. So, like I said, it's a veteran guy who's been around this game for a long time.
Okay, Dan Wyke, please.
Hey, Trez. This team is 25 games into the season. For the guys that were on this team last year, obviously, short off season, long season, and stuff like that. The playoffs and where you guys want to go is a long ways away. What can you do, you think, to kind of help this team sort of fight through the grind of this year, especially in empty stadiums and stuff like that?
I don't know how to, you know, do anything different than I'm already doing, man. We take it one game at a time, man. You know, like you just said, we're not looking ahead to, you know, game 75 or how many other games we got this season, man. We're looking at it. It was one game at a time, man. You know, we came in here with a game plan on what we wanted to take OKC out of the night. We did that. Unfortunately, it went to overtime, but we continued to keep playing, and we came out with a big win. And it's the same thing we're going to come back to do on Wednesday and then the game after that. But like I said, it's one game at a time.
Okay. Bill Oren, please.
Hey, Trez. I'm just wondering, you know, how much more of a grind has this season felt like just because of everything that's in place and everything you guys are dealing with? You know, obviously no fans. Has it been kind of harder to maybe find momentum as a collective unit?
I don't think it has really, man, because at the end of the day, man, you know, we're still doing our job, man. We still are, you know, blessed to be able to play this game and call it our job and go out here every night and lace our shoes up here each and every night and get to call it work, man. So, you know, yeah, it's not the, you know, what we're accustomed to as in playing in full arenas and having, you know, fans in there supporting us. But at the same time, man, we create our own energy. We're our own biggest supporters and cheerleaders as far as players and coaches go. And, you know, we're all fighting for one goal. At the end of the day, man, it's still about getting to that end goal. And I think that's what everybody has in the mindset. And, you know, we don't really, you know, pay that the scene any mind. You know, when we have fans, sometimes we enjoy. We go out there and play the same way, you know, play with the passion and love that we have for the game, but it's the same way if we're in the empty arena.
Okay, we'll take a few more here. Kari Jones, please.
Hey, what's going on, Trez? You had mentioned Tatum a little bit. You know, he's it's a lot of reports out right now that, you know, a lot of people are interested in him, you know, just from his future. How does a guy like that, you know, a young player, you know, continue to stay focused? You know, you guys are not saying agency and things of that nature. Do you have those conversations with him?
Nah, but I got my own things. I got to worry about my own lifestyle, man. This is a young kid who I don't think he's really too much worrying about that right now. He's just looking to get better and just looking to go out and just play the game the right way. Like you mentioned, we got a great agency with Clutch, and, you know, we leave those things to them. But we can't worry about what's not in our control. And, you know, everything that you just mentioned right there is not in Taylor's control. Only thing Taylor can control is going out here, playing the right way, executing our game plan, offense and defense, and, you know, playing for the team to win a game. As far as like his individual status and goals, I don't think it's something that he worries about. He's a young player, and he's just looking to continue to keep getting better.
Okay, we'll take Claudio Gestro, please.
Trez, the Thunder were scrappy, but what was the key to breaking through their defense in the fourth quarter?
Well, just keep attacking, honestly. You know, we knew they was a scrappy team and was going to play to the end of the game. And, you know, they did that and ended up forcing it into overtime. But, you know, I think we got to – coming back to play them again on Wednesday, we definitely have to limit them to extra chance shots. I think if we limit them to one shot, then we can get out and run and actually execute our flow and our fast-paced offense that we want to be known for. I think just tonight they was, you know, really scrappy. They continued to play, you know, for a full game, and then, you know, 5 minutes after that. And I think, you know, it just showed that they really wanted it. So, I think we definitely got to limit them to one shot. We can't give up, you know, second, third, fourth chance shots because, as you can see, you know, it builds up a guy's confidence and then, you know, all sorts of players just start making shots.
All right, that's Montrezl Harrell right there. Nice game from Montrez tonight. All right, so Lakers' next game, they've won two games in a row now in overtime. Double overtime against the Pistons, 119-112 against over the Thunder tonight. Next game is against the Oklahoma City Thunder again. I know this is not normal, but in this COVID time, it's not uncommon to play two teams in a row. Lakers have already done that against the Spurs. I think they did it against Houston as well and Memphis. So this is the first time Lakers are doing it at home. So next game for the Lakers, the Thunder. Let me actually just mention one other thing here. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. How nice of a player is this kid? 22 years old, had 29 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. If Lakers are going to make it 6 wins in a row, if they're going to improve their record to 20-6, they'll have to focus on him specifically. He was outstanding tonight and does not, the pressure doesn't bother him. He gets fouled by KCP. I still don't know why the Lakers didn't foul Shai Gilgeous in regulation in the backcourt. Steps up, hits those 3 free throws like it's the first quarter. So Lakers could have their hands full again. Let's see if they learn from some of their mistakes and they'll be ready to go this coming Wednesday. So next broadcast this Wednesday, Lakers and the Thunder. Pregame show at 5:30. Tip-off set for 7 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m., Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis. We appreciate you guys being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.